Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this podcast. Just to give you a heads up, Tony was having A, electricity problems, and also B, Laotian problems too. So if you hear some background noises, do not be frustrated. It is just Tony, and it is just a curious bystander asking him questions. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we hope you enjoy it.
This is the 4501 Podcast, episode 31, Cord Cutting Options in 2019.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. And yourself, Mark?
I'm all right. Do you remember whose voice that was?
Oh, no. Who is that? What were you trying to sound like?
Hey, man. Friend of me on Facebook, man.
Oh, yes. We'll call him Jeff from Loyola.
Yeah, our friend Jeff. You know, yeah. Very good friend. Tony's best friend at college, actually. So if Jeff is listening, thanks for all your support, Jeff.
He probably is.
Yeah, we know that. All right. Well, let's see. Well, I have you on Zoom right now. How do you feel about that? You know, I guess it was last week, but that Zoom kind of attack that people could do to spy on you since you're using a MacBook. Did you hear about that? Or is Vietnam not part of the world?
No, I am very disconnected right now. I have no clue what you're talking about. Is it Zoom US or something with a MacBook?
Yeah, so apparently there's a vulnerability in the Zoom app for Mac. And people could just, like, if you're logging into a meeting, they could just brute force their way into opening up your camera. It's like a really big security issue.
Oh my God, I wonder if we got hacked. We probably wouldn't even know.
Well, the 4501 podcast needs listeners. So if anyone's hacking us right now, thank you for watching and listening. And thank you for downloading.
That's true. Any type of press is good press, right?
Exactly. All right. So again, since you're on Zoom, where are you now? Because I can see what looks like a traditional Laotian.
Laotian or something like that.
Okay. So where are you now?
I'm in a place called Nong Kiao. And it's just like 3 or 4 hours north of Luang Prabang, still in Laos. And
okay.
The plan for today is to take a boat up the river, the Nam Ao River, to another place called Phong Sa Li. And that's up in the mountains, like 2,000 meters. And we're getting pretty close to China at this point. But cool. Unfortunately, that's not part of the itinerary. We'll have to save that for another trip.
You don't want to go there anyways.
No, why not? It's
too hot.
That's your homeland.
It's too hot. It's too hot. Trust me. I know. It's too hot nowadays over there. So it's not the best place to be because it's you're going to be sweating even more so. Up there.
Fair enough. Okay. I'll stay away.
Okay. Well, as you heard this title, we are going to be talking about cord cutting in 2019. And if you don't know what that is, then stop listening to the podcast. You've listened enough. Thank you for downloading the podcast. But for those who do know what cord cutting is, or for those that want to find out what cord cutting is, Tony, what is cord cutting?
Cord cutting is a movement that is taking place, I guess, over the past 5 years, ever since video streaming services came out, that people are tending to get away from cable packages and picking kind of like these a la carte video streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, etc. What do you think? Good definition?
Yeah, I think so. But what I'll say is, I think this is a generational thing, you know? When I imagine this is kind of like the same idea, when the transition from, you know, antenna to cable came about. So I think it's just, I don't know. It's new. It's modern. Definitely. It's a younger generational thing. 'Cause I know my parents, they wouldn't cut the cord at all. because they're just so used to cable. Like, have your parents cut the cord?
Yeah, so definitely not. My parents would definitely not be a cord cutter. I don't see them ever doing that because they are just so ingrained to the idea of live TV, sitting down at night and watching the news as it comes on at 6 or 7 o'clock, whenever it comes on. They really love the idea of live TV. So no, they would never cut the cord.
Yeah. I mean, my sister has cut the cord. I relatively have cut the cord, even though my rent pays for my TV, even though it's SD, so it's sucking. It's really bad. So cutting the cord has been very beneficial for my well-being. And we do have a DirecTV Now account. We do have a Hulu account. We have a Netflix account. We have an Amazon Prime account. The only thing we don't have is, we do have HBO too, for some reason. Which I don't know why we still have HBO, but we still have it. Because I don't think we're supposed to. So don't come after me, Time Warner Cable or AT&T.
Was that like included for like?
So originally, my parents have never ever paid for HBO, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Until there was like a free promo for them. And so this was like 2 or 3 years ago. A couple of years ago, I signed up an account. I signed up for like an HBO Go account during one of those free trials. And after that free trial ended, they just kept it going. Like HBO kept it going. They never deleted my credentials or denied me access. So it just kept going and going and going and going and going until like recently when the new Game of Thrones season came out. But then we kind of did a free trial again, and now I still have the credentials and no one in my family is paying for it. So I don't know how I'm getting this.
That's awesome. That's a nice mistake. I want to complain about that.
It's nice.
So you said,
what about you? Do you have any cord cutting platforms right now?
I do. I mean, actually, similarly, I do have HBO, but I don't pay for it. It's part of my parents' cable package that they get for free. But I don't pay for anything like Netflix or Hulu. I guess I do have Amazon Prime Video. That's a video streaming service, but that's included in your Prime membership.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say that that's a good thing to hit on too. A lot of TV providers like Comcast, or what do your parents have? Spectrum?
No, they have Comcast. Cox? Xfinity, yeah.
Okay. So there's Comcast, there's Cox, there's Spectrum, there's Optimum. I think that's what it's called now, actually. There's Fios, but all these kind of TV providers or even internet providers are starting to catch on to this cutting the cord style. So they're actually giving their people who subscribe to them kind of like the same idea. They develop an app and basically they can stream TV content to their phone.
Yeah, the Comcast definitely has an app like that. They have like a couple apps, but one of them does the live streaming of TV and also on-demand video as well. And I think their philosophy behind that is really, if you can't beat them, join them, right? Because they do see this trend of cord cutters happening. And unless they change their ways, they're going to get beat. So that's definitely part of the reason why they're doing something like that.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see kind of how this evolved. So I think this is like kind of the biggest generational change that I've seen in my lifetime. Like, I've seen the transition from cable to cord cutting, and I'm just interested to see where the future of TV actually goes, because I don't know where it's going to end up going.
I would predict more on demand than live. And like many more options. Just like looking at all the different YouTube channels, there's so many different content creators, and there's going to be so many more choices for consumers. That's just
I disagree with that.
You do?
I disagree with that though, because it's not a matter. So I think let's kind of take it back before that. So the only way cord cutting is possible is how?
Eliminating packaged TV?
No. How are you actually getting these channels?
Yeah. High bandwidth internet.
High bandwidth. So internet providers. So even though you may be dropping your TV package from Comcast or Spectrum or whoever, or Fios, you still have to pay for their internet, you know?
That's true. Yes.
So do you, have you heard of about like net neutrality?
Yes.
Did you know anything about net neutrality?
No, I couldn't speak intelligently about it.
Okay. So basically net neutrality is saying that these internet providers don't have to, they're not allowed to charge, I guess, premiums or different pricings based on different websites. Okay. So basically net neutrality is saying that the internet is neutral. You have a free access to it. You get charged the same rate, whatever is $70 a month for your internet access. And you can access any single site you want to, whether it be sports, news, entertainment, whatever. But the FCC recently ruled, this is kind of like it reversed the Obama administration. So the Trump administration reversed that ruling and now says that that's not actually real. Now internet providers can actually dictate how much, well, this hasn't been enacted yet, but internet providers do have the ability to charge people to visit certain sites. And so kind of like what they do for cord cutting packages, actually. So when you buy a cord cutting package, they group bundle channels together. The internet could turn out to be that way, where you bundle like ESPN or CNN together, but you leave out Yahoo and Google, something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're applying that like it's not a la carte at that point. You're bundling websites, essentially, access to websites.
Yeah. So basically, instead of paying like $70 per month, you'd have to pay like $30 to access this set of sites, $50 to access this set of sites, and the prices could go up extremely high.
And just to be clear, net neutrality is against the bundling of websites.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's saying everything is equal.
Yeah.
You have free access to all these sites. You shouldn't have to pay to access these sites, or even high bandwidth. Like if you have, like if you want to have like a higher speed, or like, so bandwidth being like, if you want priority to access a specific site, not necessarily like one gig, like download speeds. We're not talking about that. We're talking about priorities to access a certain website.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You would be able to pay for that too.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
So taking this back to video streaming, you predict that the future is going to look like still packages of streaming services or
packages. Well, I just think that the choice. The government is portraying this as giving people more choice and giving them access to what channels or what websites they want to go to, which is true. But at the same time, you're actually restricting the freedom of where people can go. It's just a whole, we're not here to talk about politics, but I think the future of cord cutting may be a little bit more restrictive if this net neutrality stuff pans out the way it's currently going.
Yeah, if that happens.
Because
then
you're going to be limited to doing stuff, like you'll be limited in what apps you can use, you know? We know that Netflix and Hulu, well, if you're streaming Netflix, you can use up how much data in an hour, right?
Right.
Like, if you're streaming Netflix for a month, you'll probably go through 15 to 20 gigabytes of data. And so what happens if the phone companies decide to throttle you even more so than they do?
Yeah, that's not a pretty picture. Right off the bat, I really hope that it doesn't end up like that because it seems like a messy situation. I'm definitely. Where are we at with this? Is it like way off in the future? Or,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all government, right? So everyone, Democrats versus Republicans, always have different opinions of how they want to run our lives.
Sure.
But at this point, I don't know. You know,
okay.
I just don't.
Fair enough.
I know that that act was passed because the FCC chairman is actually pro kind of TV providers, not pro consumer, because he's a Republican. So he's pro corporation.
Yeah.
But I don't know where it's been since then.
Okay. Well, moving on from that, I wanted to talk about in this episode the, I guess, cost effectiveness of cord cutting, because I know, at least for me, when I did have a cable television package, I was, and this was like a few years ago, I was looking at the possibility of saving money by cutting the cord. And I think back then, at least a few years ago, it seemed like I could save money by cutting the cord. And I'm just wondering if that still holds today. So let's just go through some numbers now and see like what these individual streaming services cost versus what a cable television package costs, and see if you can actually save a few bucks every month by cutting the cord. So
yeah, so that's a good point. So right now I just did a quick Google search for the Xfinity Comcast. Okay. And if I can get to the actual bundle. Okay. I hear a generator behind you. Is someone pumping water?
There, you're gonna hear some boats pass by on the river next to me. I'm again outside recording this episode.
It's almost like we're in Laos with you.
I'm glad I could bring you guys here.
You know? So okay. So let's go to Xfinity Internet and we'll see how much. Okay. So they are not giving me any good offers.
While you're looking that up, I can give you
it's
some
behind a paywall, so I can't see that.
Okay.
That's
fair. I just helped my parents set up their Comcast account within the past 3 months.
Okay, so let's go off your parents' estimate. Give me an estimate of how much they pay per month for whatever they do have.
They have a triple play package, which is phone, TV, and internet. 100 megs internet, I think like something like 200 plus channels, and you know, nationwide calling. For that, their introductory rate, which I think is good for 1 or 2 years, is a little bit more than $100 a month, maybe like, let's just say $115 per month. And that's okay, an introductory rate. Yeah. That's an introductory rate, which is how a lot of these cable package providers, you know, reel people in, get new customers. And then after 1 or 2 years, that rate goes up by, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it goes up by $50 a month. So their normal rate, I think before taxes and all that stuff, would be close to $170, maybe like $165 for phone, TV, and internet. So we'll use that as our base price when comparing it to the streaming services. And there's different packages. It could be more, it could be less, but let's just use that as our base price.
Okay. And so, sorry, that was for TV and internet and telephone.
TV, internet, and telephone. Right. But, okay. Like,
did you price out what internet was?
I think we looked at an internet only package and it was still under $100 for the introductory rate. But I think once you get past that, you know, promo period, it'll be just over $100.
Okay. Okay. So $100 is the baseline. Okay. And let's say, let's say you're only going to buy internet. So guesstimate for that.
Yeah. For only internet, a decent internet speed, let's go something above 100 megs. Let's like 150 megs or 250 megs per.
Let's say 250, because 250 is actually the standard now.
250 is the standard.
I kid you not.
Okay.
250 is supposed to be the standard now.
Well, in that case, Comcast's Blast Pro Internet is introductory rate $60 a month. Add the $50 discount after the promo period, it'll be $110 a month.
Okay. All right. So I just texted my friend Sam, or our friend Sam, and he says that he's probably going to pay like $60 to $75 for internet a month. And he pulls like 250 to 500 megs per second. That's pretty good internet. And he actually is a cable cutter too. So the reason why I bring up this internet, the reason why I spent the last 5 minutes on the internet is because you do need internet for cord cutting. If you don't actually have the internet, then you can't cable cut, right?
Yeah.
Your streaming bill will be, your internet bill on your phone will be very high. So anyways,
it's important.
Yeah. And so like Tony said, the promo rates are very important. And what I'll say right now is that a lot of the cord cutting services also have introductory promo rates too. So those are important to make sure you keep an eye out, because they do change very frequently. Now, let's just say, let me go through the big ones. So AT&T, they're telling me right now is $15 a month. Sling TV, $25 a month. Hulu Live, $45 a month. PlayStation View, $50 a month. DirecTV Now, $50 a month. And YouTube TV, $50 a month. Now, what I'll tell you right now is that the cord cutting space is very a la carte, right? We talked about this. Mm-hmm. So this base price does not include some of the channels you may want. So let's say you want like FS1, which is the Fox Sports Network. That may not be included in the base package. So you may need to pay an extra $5 to $10 per month to include that into your package.
Within each streaming service, there's the option to add more potential features to your package. So you're actually looking at like a small bundling almost within the streaming service.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I think from what I've read, the best value right now, the best value play is Sling TV for $25 a month.
What is Sling TV?
So Sling TV, do you remember what Slingbox was?
Is that a way to get live TV somewhere else?
So back in the early, man, I was probably in high school or middle school when this came out. So probably in the early 2000s to 2010, which is weird saying, but it's totally true.
Yeah.
Back when we were in high school and middle school, there is actually something called a Slingbox. Okay.
Okay.
The Slingbox is you hook your TV into this box and you hook your Slingbox into your router. And you can actually stream your home TV to your phone.
Okay.
So this was the original streaming service. Everyone, if you wanted to watch TV, there was no such thing as cord cutting at this point. There was no DirecTV Now. There was no live TV on your phone. So you had a sling box and it would sling all your TV shows to your phone or wherever you were, or your desktop.
Yeah.
It was also DVR. So you can, it was kind of like TiVo. So there's a sling box where it slang it and then it also DVR'd it.
Okay. So you're still paying for cable. It's just the physical hardware that sends it somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I do think there was it was subscription based too. So you did have to pay like a yearly subscription fee to actually use it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then now it's different than that though, the modern version.
So I think Sling TV that's the actual streaming service. Okay.
Okay.
So that's where how you actually watch a live TV. I don't know how they're doing in the hardware side. I imagine they're still there, but I don't think it's as big as it once was.
And what kind of you get different channels within that streaming service?
Yeah. So I don't remember the main ones. You definitely have like the local TV shows, the local TV channels like ABC, CBS, Fox.
Okay.
MSNBC. But beyond kind of like maybe MTV or VH1 or something, like there could be other channels that you want to watch, but they aren't in that main bundle. So you have to pay for more.
Right, right. Okay, so this is essentially like the online version of Comcast. The online version of Xfinity, right? Like, because all your television comes through cable, like the cable outside of your house that comes into your house. All your television channels come through there, but instead of coming through there, they'll come through internet only, like via your Wi-Fi, via your Ethernet cords. So I see a lot of parallels between the two, but the difference being how your TV content is delivered.
Yeah. So the original question, the original point we're trying to make is what's the cost and how much can you actually save?
Yes.
So the real answer comes down to, and this is a non-answer, it depends on how good of a deal you get on your internet and how good of a deal you get on your cord cutting service. Because if you don't get a good deal, if you pay $50 a month for your internet and $50 a month for your YouTube TV, then you're $100, which is what your parents are paying.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like if you want a similar package of television, live television channels, it might not make sense to cut the cord. But if you really don't care about live television and you just want to watch like some episodes of Netflix or HBO, then you could save a good amount of money. Do you have the same sentiment?
Yeah, but even then, so I think programming in general, and this is just an indictment on the entertainment community itself, Netflix is putting out all this content. And so the numbers game for Netflix right now, they've lost subscribers, I think, this past earnings report, what they said.
Oh, wow.
Is that they're more focused on the quantity of shows and not the quality of shows. Secondly, there are so many more streaming platforms coming online. Disney is going to come out with their own streaming platform.
Mm.
Fox is coming out with their own stream, or Disney. Yeah, Disney and someone else. It might be Fox, whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, there's so much competition between the main station, like the prime, I don't know, what do you call them? Like NBC, what is it called?
The big name networks. Yeah,
the name networks. They're coming up with their own streaming platforms. And basically, all the content that was once on Netflix is getting transitioned away from Netflix. So like The Office. The Office was really big on Netflix, and now it's not anymore because it's going away. NBC is taking back the rights to that show, and so Netflix will not be able to stream that show anymore.
Oh, okay.
And so there's just a lot more competition in the area, and the choice is good, but it's more difficult to find one streaming service that is encompassing every single show that you want.
Right.
So I think that, cord cutting might be dead soon.
Which one's dead?
I think all cord cutting might be dead. There's just way too much competition until someone rises to the top, because all these corporations want their money. They don't want to pay. They don't want Netflix to steal all that revenue. They want their own revenue for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is,
and so once Disney, like all the Marvel movies, like all the Avengers movies, all the Captain America and Iron Man movies, they're all on Netflix. But once this new Disney streaming platform comes up, all those are going away.
Wow. That's unfortunate for the consumer, because you're going to have to subscribe to multiple streaming services to get all your content then. And maybe you'll end up paying more at the end. Yeah,
exactly. And so you gotta think about, like, is it just worth it to buy the like, it's all a game, man. This is so frustrating.
It is.
You're always going to have to pay for something.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't doubt that. But just a matter of how much you pay and if it's going to go up or down is the question. And it seems like,
yeah,
if you want the content, yeah, you're going to have to pay for it. Bottom line.
Well, I don't know. Well, we're running late here. We're almost on 28 minutes. So is there anything else you want to add about cord cutting? Is there any big points you want to get across?
I think we cover the major topics. I would love to hear what other people think about this, what their experience has been with cord cutting. So as always, if you have anything to add about this episode, or if you have any ideas about future episodes, you can let us know at the451podcast.com/31. And Mark, do you want to take it out?
No, but I'll do it anyways. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening.
See you next time.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you next time. And thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the451podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.